And we're back for another Father Son podcast with Captain Caveman and Raging Butterfly. How you doing today, bud?
Pretty good.
How's your day off today?
Really productive and fun.
Yeah, I just want to say right off the bat, you did awesome. You got every job on your list done, except did you get trophies?
No.
You didn't get me any trophies for PlayStation, but that's okay. I'm good with that one. That you didn't get that one. You got all the work done I asked you to do. You had five things on your list.
I didn't do all the cans, but I did most of them.
Yeah. Forrest doesn't like to touch the dirty cans at the bottom of the sink.
Because there's fat. There's taco fat on it.
Yeah, that's okay. I will take care of those ones. You did pretty good. You bottled up the other bottles, though, so I'm very, very, very proud of what you got done today. I came home at lunch, and I almost expected to be waking you up, to be honest with you. And, man, almost all the work was done. I just came home. I gave you a couple corrections, and you finished those up real, real quick and effortlessly. Or at least it was like time travel for me because I came home, and everything I asked you to do was done. So
I was actually surprised at how quick I got those things done. I really thought they'd take longer, even if I was working efficiently, which I guess I was, because I got everything done pretty quick, but I just thought it was going to take longer.
When you are efficient and you did what I said to do, you put a podcast on, so you enlightened your brain, even though it was all about football, but that's still okay. I mean, that's something you're interested in, you're learning, you're passionate about it, and you have your mock draft that we're going to do in a minute, but yeah, it was great. So you had I came home, you were listening to a podcast, you were doing work. I felt like you were a mirror of myself, man. And it looked great. You did a really awesome job. I'm really proud of you. He's beaming over there, but he deserves all the praise I did. I brought you on here, and I pretty much put you down when you failed, right?
Yeah.
Have you felt like that?
A little bit.
You almost look like you're ready to cry. Today, I'm really proud of you. I'm not just going to punish your failures. I'm going to reward your success, too. Mm-hmm. That's how life works. Actually, life really isn't that fair. Usually, you don't get rewarded for your success because that's what you're expected to do. But it was a big step for you. You're maturing as an adult, and I love to see it. And as you grow, I expect more from you, right? Because mm-hmm. That's what adults do. I'm going to expect you to do more. You're still a kid. You're, 11, 12 years old. You're right at that age where you're starting to turn into an adult. So you're going to have
an
more responsibility. Yeah, an adult, man.
Isn't there a young adult and teenager in between kid and adult?
Not for you.
Okay.
I expect more out of you. You're my kid. You're not some normal little scrubby kid that I don't even know. You're someone that we've invested a lot of time, love, and effort into, and we expect a reward for that time and effort and money. And we spend a lot of money and time on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents don't put as much time in with their kids as you do. Mom put a lot of that time in, right? A lot more than I did. But now I see stuff I don't like, and I'm going to fix it, right? You can lower that mic stand right here if you want. This will lower it right here. So you can bring it down, but it's a telescoping, so it's going to drop right down when you do it.
Oh. All
right, hang on. I'll pause it real quick so we can fix it for you. All right, the mic situation is fixed. Mr. Brandon Muckle adjusted our mics because he's an experienced singer. His sounded okay, but Ray's not been so good. Forrest's sound has been a little bit off for these podcasts too, so we're trying to adjust. We had the exact same mic. I don't know why everyone has problems with theirs and not mine. I actually have my gain turned down less than yours and my output down. And I still sound louder than you guys. You need to learn to project a little bit.
I think it's just your mic, like the way your mic was set up. And I think I'm starting to get better at talking into the mic.
Yeah, your lines are really good right now, so you're pretty good. All right, you want to get into your mock draft that you spent so much time on?
No, I did want to ask you that question I was going to ask you the other day first.
Okay, go ahead.
So, what is it, like, are there a lot of fighters who make themselves seem like less crazy and wouldn't do some of the things that they did, like Conor McGregor did? He didn't make himself seem so insane that he'd throw a dolly into a bus, and then he did, and then he got arrested. Are there other guys like that around the UFC and the MMA world?
I don't have experience with guys on UFC level yet. I've fought against guys that have fought in UFC, and I've been around guys that have been in UFC in a locker room, but not well enough to know. But I've been around the fight world since 1995, and I would say that there's a couple kinds of fighters. There's the martial artist fighter who lives everything he says he does, but they're very rare. And usually, honestly, they're not that good.
Why wouldn't they be as good as the other people?
Because they're missing that little bit of crazy that you need to be an excellent top-of-the-line fighter.
Right? What about
GSP?
GSP.
GSP seems like he has a lot of things wrong with him. He seems a little bit off. He's losing time. He thought he'd been kidnapped by aliens.
There's so a lot he has of, a little bit of crazy.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of crazy too. They all have a little bit of crazy to be that
at that level.
At that level, right? You need to have it to excel, I think. I think it comes hand in hand with excelling. But here's the thing. I've run into guys like Eric Herbert that are very detail-orientated, have their training down to exactly what they want to do, or, you know, close to it, and mm-hmm. they live a very regimented life, and they're able to keep things together. That's kind of how I would categorize me as a fighter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a world champ, though. I'm just some guy that's 3-5. You know, I'm not a great fighter. I freely admit that. I try my best. And just, you know, I just don't have that what I need to be the most excellent fighter in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've been around guys that do, and guys like Eric Herbert, and guys I think Randy Couture is like, and, you know, Brian Stann, the military type guys that just get up and they get after it, and they're very regimented, and they, you know, they have their beliefs, and they follow their beliefs.
So that's your second type of fighter?
No, that's my first type. I categorize really religious people in this group as well. Then there's the absolutely bat poop crazy, everything's chaos. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they show up for practice, sometimes they don't, but they just love to fight. Those kind of fighters, right?
Yeah.
And those dudes, they really come off like they're bat poop crazy. So you don't really think that they're not crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I would lump Conor McGregor into that as well. Everything he does, I would not think he's sane, right? Like even mm-hmm. watching the documentary, he's a little bit off. He's a lot of bit off, you know? Mm-hmm. To be on that level, you do got to be that little bit off, especially in a striking art. Then you have the fakers. And I would categorize like John Jones. I don't know. Maybe other guys. It's hard to tell who's like that. I categorize GSP like this. Guys, a Hoist Gracie would I categorize like this. I know this is going to get me in a lot of trouble with the jiu-jitsu guys, but I met him in person and I followed him around. And he's not the traditional great martial artist guy that, you know, I thought he was when I was a kid, and I believed in him and I loved him and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But guys like that are fakers, that they're nuts. They're like legit crazy. In the gym, you guys that train with them would know that they're crazy. But regular people, you know, they put on a good front and you can't tell, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe mom would put me in that category. I don't know. You know, so, but there's a lot of guys like that. And those guys, a lot of them really believe what they're saying. You know, that's why I'm scared maybe I would be in that category too. Like I'd have to take these moments of self-reflection. And I look at myself a lot. A lot of times I do. I reflect on, am I wrong? Am I crazy? And what's going on in my life? Why do I like to get in a cage and punch people in the face, you know?
Yeah.
But then I see you and I think maybe I'm not too bad. Because I think you're a pretty damn good kid. And I think if I was a little bit batshit crazy, it would rub off on you.
Yeah. Might make me a little bit better striker.
Not a better striker. Definitely make you a better grappler, though. You like to rape choke more than to punch people in the face from a rape choke. That's my move. All right. You want to get into your mock draft? Does that answer your question, first of all?
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into the mock draft?
Yes. This is my mock draft 2.0.
You got to talk into the mic.
This is my mock draft 2.0.
Yeah, there's your lines.
My last one was kind of bad. I made some mistakes, but I think this one is going to turn out to be pretty well. So, at number one, Cleveland doesn't trade away. And they do pick up Josh Allen, the quarterback, at number one because they need a quarterback pretty darn bad. And John Dorsey, the GM, really likes the big arm guys. So I think Josh Allen is going to get selected number one. Number two to the New York Giants is Bradley Chubb. A lot of people think that Saquon Barkley might get picked here, but Bradley Chubb really impressed the Giants on and off the field. And they do need a defensive end because they did let go of Justin Pierre-Paul, which was a huge part of their pass rush. And number three, the New York Jets pick Sam Darnold. The Jets also need a quarterback. Darnold can get out of the pocket a little bit. I think even sitting behind Josh McCown, even though he's not the greatest quarterback, might help Darnold because they play a little similar. They get out of the pocket a lot and they make plays. And number four, Indy trades up with Cleveland. They trade away the 6th, 36th, and 37th to get to number four, and they pick up Saquon Barkley, the running back. They do already have Marlon Mack, but Mack didn't play a whole lot and wasn't really mentioned last year. And Saquon Barkley is a guy that you can't really miss out on. And they also are missing Frank Gore now, so they do need a little bit of running back talent mixed in there. At number five, Denver picks Josh Rosen. They need a quarterback as well. Josh Rosen is, I think, kind of fits there. Maybe not exactly with Vance Joseph, but with their history with Peyton Manning and Trevor Siemian and everything, I think they like pocket throwers who are really good throwers. At number six, which was originally Indianapolis' pick, the Cleveland Browns select Derwin James, the safety, because Cleveland needs help at safety, and they just need to go for the best guy. Number seven, Tampa Bay picks Minkah Fitzpatrick, who some people might think is the best safety, but he's more of a DB that can move around, which isn't what Cleveland needs. Tampa Bay does need a really high-level corner, high-level DB, though, so that's where Fitzpatrick is going to go. And number eight, Chicago picks up Quentin Nelson. There's not much to say about him. He's just the best offensive lineman. Chicago needs him, so they pick him up. And number nine, San Fran picks Denzel Ward, the cornerback. Best cornerback, again, kind of the same thing. Best in his position, best at his position, and San Fran needs a corner, so they're going to pick up Denzel Ward. Number 10, Oakland picks up Tremaine Edmonds. The Oakland Raiders need a linebacker. They do have Navarro Bowman, but Navarro Bowman won't last for too much longer, so they're going to need a long-term solution at linebacker.
Hey, Forrest, I have an idea. This is great. This is really, really great. I took pictures of you reading this, and I took pictures. All you have is a player's names on there. You're doing all this from memory. You have a talent. You should maybe do this for a living. I'm serious. I would like... after this, just read the names off that you have for the drafts, right? We'll go back. All right. And then I'm thinking maybe tomorrow, since it's Friday and we have more time, I would like you to just do a sports podcast just on the draft.
Okay.
You be the host.
Sounds good.
I'll be the co-host. I'll introduce you. You run a program. We're going to do draft picks with an 11-year-old.
Well, okay.
I think it might take off, man. You know what the hell you're talking about. You know more than I do. I have no idea. You know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to send this recording to Chris Swoboda, the guy that ran Fanduzzi. I'm serious. And we're going to have him listen to it, and I bet you he'd be willing to sponsor you. I really do. All right. That's my prediction. All right, just continue on with the draft.
Then, 11, Miami picks Hayden Hurst. 12, mm-hmm. Buffalo picks Calvin Ridley.
What's Calvin Ridley? Is he quarterback?
Best receiver in the draft.
Oh, Buffalo,
don't worry, you dropped the ball.
Don't worry.
You'll like our later pick, and I'll explain that one a little bit because we are at Buffalo. Calvin Ridley's the best receiver. We need a receiver. I won't say it too much else so I could save some for tomorrow. Number 13, Washington picks Marcus Davenport, the defensive end. 14, Green Bay picks Darius Geis, the running back. Number 15, Arizona picks up Baker Mayfield, the quarterback. Number 16, Baltimore picks up Anthony Miller, the wide receiver. Number 17, the Los Angeles Chargers pick up Will Hernandez, the guard. Number 18, Seattle picks up DJ Moore, a receiver. Number 19, Dallas picks Cortland Sutton, wide receiver. Number 20, Detroit picks Ronald Jones, the second, running back. Number 21, Cincinnati picks Connor Williams, the tackle. Number 22, Buffalo picks up Mason Rudolph, who is going to be our next quarterback of the future. And he has some experience in rollout plays, so he might fit well in Buffalo. Number 23, New England picks up Ronnie Harrison, the safety. Number 24, Carolina picks up Jair Alexander, the corner. Number 25, Tennessee picks up Raquan Smith, the linebacker. Number 26, Atlanta picks up Sam Hubbard, the defensive end. Number 27, New Orleans picks Vita Vea, the defensive tackle. Number 28, Pittsburgh picks Orlando Brown, the tackle. Number 29, Jacksonville picks up Lamar Jackson, the quarterback. Number 30, Minnesota picks up Christian Kirk, wide receiver. Number 31, New England picks Harold Landry, defensive end. Number 32, Philadelphia picks up Isaiah Oliver.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, we're going to do a real podcast about that. I don't know if it's good. We might have to make your own site and stuff. I'm serious. It's really good. Listen to you talk. You're spitting knowledge down like a real host, man.
I didn't really put that much research and info into it. I used some of the background knowledge I picked up from NFL Network, and I took NFL.com's ratings and stuff for the prospects.
Yeah.
And I kind of tried to morph that together and think about teams' needs based off of what I know. I don't know every team's needs perfectly, and I don't know how everything plays out there. But I'm just basing this off of what I know that the team needs.
God damn, dude.
And I looked at a couple depth charts because I wasn't sure. So I needed to look at a couple rosters to confirm a couple of picks.
Are you sure you're not from the milkman? The milkman may really be your dad? I don't think I'm smart enough to be a real dad.
I don't know. I think I just put way too much focus into it. And I guess I can kind of turn it into something.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm almost speechless, man. I'm very, very impressed. Very good at what you're doing. I think we should definitely do a podcast about it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'm going to try and get some hype behind it. I actually pay to advertise on Facebook, too. I'll probably put like $40 in.
Tomorrow's?
Yeah.
Why?
Don't make it suck. Make it good.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'll put money behind it. I think it could be good.
All right.
Good 11-year-old. Just shooting his mouth off. It's great. I love it. And then, like I said, I'll send a link to Chris, too.
Of this one or the next one?
The next one, not this one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'll find some music that we can use.
Why would we need music?
To open it up. It's going to be like a real show, like Caveman's Corner.
Oh. It's going to be an extended version of the Fireside Chat, sports edition.
No, it's going to be your show about football.
So then what's going to be the
topic's going to be the draft.
What's going to be the first chat?
I don't know. We'll do that one first to get warmed up so your second one doesn't suck. I need a little bit talking on a mic to feel comfortable too, you know?
Yeah.
That's why me and Ray banter back and forth a little bit before we start the interviews, just to make sure we're warmed up.
Oh, that's why? I thought that was just random banter.
I don't know. Maybe that's what Ray does, and I like to add the humor to the show, kind of like a radio show, you know? But I like that time to get my mind engaged because it takes me like 4 or 5 minutes of sitting down and talking before I disconnect from the real world and I get like zoned into what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know how you are, but it takes me a while to shut off. You know, most of the time by 3 or 4 minutes in, I put my phone down. Today is different because I was snapping you and now mom wrote me about you and I took pictures of the notes that you have because all you really do is have the players' names on there and the trades.
It was only one trade.
Yeah. And dude, I'm just amazed by you're able to pull that out of the air. When I do commentary for fights, you've seen my notebook. You've seen how many notes I take. And I still have a hard time remembering what I was talking about. It's amazing to you. Like when I see the guys fight and I see a move, I can remember everything because that's how I remember stuff. I remember from motion and from visual cues.
Mm-hmm.
But before I see the guys, like even by their faces, because I can't remember what nobody looks like. That's why I can't remember names.
Mm-hmm.
But like when someone moves, I know exactly who they are and how they move. And I don't know.
I just remember because I think about it so much.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, we're like almost 20 minutes in, so we're going to get out of here.
All right.
I just want to say, man, I'm super proud of you. Everything you did today was great. I can't believe the house next door to us blew up. That's crazy, right? House blew up. 2 other houses started on fire. It was an interesting
It was the street night. In front of us.
Yeah, street in front of us.
Street north.
One street over from us. If we
were the center of the world, it'd be the north of us.
Yeah.
But we're probably facing eastward or something.
Well, I'm facing the opposite direction from you, so northwest for me is that way. Because I don't know where true north is because I don't have a compass.
Yeah. If you know where true north is, it's pretty easy.
I'm pretty sure north is that way.
How do you just know that?
Because I remember from being in a car. I know which way the house is orientated. All right, let's get out
of here.
Is
that why all the snow comes this way?
No, that's because of the way the houses are. And the way the plow trucks come and plow in our driveway. Damn plow trucks. I saw some plow trucks this week, too. It's crazy. I might have to make some more plow blades for the city of Buffalo.
It's snowing in April, yeah. Okay? All Buffalo right. is probably one of the coldest places in the U.S.
It's snowing everywhere. It's just bad weather everywhere. All right, dude. It's 20 minutes in. This is the longest one we've done. We got to get out of here. It's bedtime.
No, religion was longer, probably.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Oh.
This is the longest one, I'm sure.
Then bye.
Or just like a real podcast. Too long. Next time, tomorrow's going to be shorter because we got to do the football one too.
And then there's the long one after that, which would be the football one.
Okay. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you for today. I love you, man. I'm very proud of you.
Love you too. Thank you.